Romans chapter 3, I will read verses 21 through 31, and 21 through 28 will be the focus of the sermon this morning. Hear the word of our God. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, this, our second week on this text, it should become clear to you that we're going to take our time as we move through this section. You don't drive through New England quickly in autumn. You take your time. You drive slowly. You observe the colors. You observe the beauty of God's creation. It's been wonderful to be in Maryland during the fall. In Kansas, we would say, spring and fall are two of the nicest days of the year. It seems like overnight the trees begin to bud and then boom, they're there. They're in full swing for summer. And then you start to notice a little bit of change in the top of some of the oldest trees in town. And the next morning you wake up to a yard that needs raked. But not really. It's so windy in Kansas. If you wait just a day or two, your neighbor has to do all the raking. It's really, really nice. But we've enjoyed the slow change of the trees. We've enjoyed the beautiful colors. And as we come to Romans 3, we don't want to rush. We want to take our time and really grasp and really cling to what is being told us here by the Apostle Paul. The title of this morning's message is really, I guess, the main point. And it's a question. Why should I believe? Why should I believe? There are perhaps many ways that some would seek to answer that question. Some want evidence that demands a verdict. They want to know that the universe is pointing in all of its systems to this King of Kings and to this Lord of Lords. They want to rationalize. They want to walk step by step through whatever process they want to take and arrive cognitively at the reality that Jesus is Lord and He alone can save. And that might be the process that the Lord takes you on your walk of faith. The name Josh McDowell should not be unknown to you. And he is one who set out to disprove Scripture. And you want to tell him, get in line. There have been many before you, there will be many after you. But he came to the convincing stance that Christ is who he said he was. C.S. Lewis had his lines where he said, "If look at the things that Jesus Christ said on this earth. He's either a liar, he knew he wasn't those things and yet said he was, or he's a crazy man, he really believed false things about himself, or he is Lord. What he said was true and who he was true." Think even of the Apostle Paul, who spent a decent amount of his adult life unconvinced that this rabbi from Galilee was who he said he was. And Paul had great zeal in persecuting what he saw to be a cult, to be a false religion that was worshiping this rabbi. And how did Paul himself become convinced? What made him Paul? What changed him from Saul to the great apostle? It was meeting Christ face to face on the road to Damascus. What's amazing in Paul's testimony is that he went from house to house persecuting the church. And once converted, he went house to house in tears, begging the people to trust Christ and to believe on Him. Well, why should you believe? My first point is that summary point from last week. Believe on, be made righteous by, and find refuge in Jesus Christ, the only one who pleases and appeases the Father. Not all of the points today are this long. Believe on, be made righteous by, and find refuge in Jesus Christ, the only one who pleases and appeases the Father. But now the righteousness of God has been made manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. Now I know you took excellent notes last week and you brought them with you today, so this is redundant, but I'll repeat for you the points from last week that all who believe stand righteous before God through Jesus Christ. All who believe are unrighteous on their own. All who believe are made righteous through redemption, not belief. All who believe are at peace with God through Christ. As we are confronted with our sin, this should be good news to us. But why should you believe it? Why? Because you've been to the highest heavens and you can see that this universe was made by an infinite, eternal God? Because conversely, you have dug down into the depths of creation, into the deepest part of a cell, and you have seen there in the DNA and in all of the mechanisms that are in place for cellular life that God has made life and sustained it? Or because perhaps just in the last few weeks you have experienced the amazing miracle of bringing forth human life? And you have seen there is no way for this to be possible apart from a good and gracious God. Paul here gives us what I believe to be three reasons to believe. To believe on, to be made righteous by, and to find refuge in Jesus Christ, the only one who pleases and appeases the Father. Why? Because God is a patient God. He says in the second part of verse 25, this was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. Now, if something doesn't get dealt with in our own homes, we might point to laziness or ignorance or just putting off the inevitable, that smell coming from the kitchen drain, that room that needs cleaned out and organized and has needed so for the last 10 years. Our pastor's wife in California, a dear, sweet Christian lady, they had been ministering in California for almost 40 years. And she says, there are a couple boxes in the top of my closet that I packed in Michigan before we came here. And I'm pretty sure they still have Michigan dust on them. It might be because our schedules are too busy to get around to these things. But my friends, when we hear that God passed over former sins, perhaps your translation uses a word like overlooked those sins. This was not because God was lazy. This was not because He was unjust. It was because He was determined in His divine forbearance to save His people to the uttermost by the covenantal way which He had ordained. In Genesis 3, we read, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, and He puts some physical limitations and condemnations on the serpent. But He goes on in verse 15 and says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And from that point forward, God was not going to require from His people something other than that sacrifice which would fully and completely deal with their sin. Even the Mosaic covenant, which was full of sacrifices, which was full of ceremony, which was full of do this at this time and do that at that time, all of it was pointing forward to Christ. Then and there, God ordained in the garden the means by which he would save his people, even the very means of his very son, the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. And God would refuse to reel in that fish on the sins of his people until the appropriate and full sacrifice was made. Hebrews 9, we read, therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Christ died so that we might walk in the new and living way that he made for us into the heavenlies. Our God is a patient God. His mercy endures forever. How long, Christian, must he endure the sin that you are courting in your life right now? How long will you nurse it along? How long will you find comfort in its arms? How long will you test the patience of our God? When his patience is one of the very reasons we should believe on him. Because we see he is not a God on a tirade in the cosmos. He is a patient God upon whom we should believe. Why else should we believe? Because God is a completely saving God. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The present time. To show his righteousness at the present time. The time following Christ's perfect sacrifice. These are eternal truths, but they are eternal truths that are made manifest and revealed in space-time. God is just. He is perfectly righteous in his handling of and dealing with the sin of his people of all times and places. And he is able to perfectly make them just, to make them righteous, to give them a right standing before him. The enemy will stand there and say, but they do not deserve to stand in your presence. To which Christ responds, exactly. But I do. I deserve to stand in the presence of a holy, righteous, eternal, infinitely just God, who by grace has seen fit to receive them on my account. They will stand. I would also like in my flesh to think that he then says, so you shut up and sit down because your accusations will not stand in this place. My friends, we don't have the right to just have our big toe in the door of the heavenly throne room. We don't have the right to simply stand outside and to peek through the keyhole to guess at what is going on in there. We don't just have the right to slink in the door and to crouch coward in the corner. My friends, our God is a completely saving God. When He declares you righteous, you are completely righteous in His sight, in your standing before Him. By grace, through faith. So why should you believe? You should believe. You should believe on, be made righteous by, you should find refuge in Jesus Christ, the only one who pleases and appeases the Father, because God is a patient God. And because God is a completely saving God, He leaves nothing undone. He had the perfect plan, and He executed it perfectly so that we might be saved. And fourthly, because God is a gift-giving God. Then what becomes of our boasting? What becomes of our bragging rights when it comes to spiritual things? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No. But by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Verse 24. Paul says that all, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, and are justified by His grace as a gift. Brothers and sisters, we are works-oriented people. Oh, you might chuckle at this, but how many of you will not stay for lunch today because you didn't bring anything? Some of you I've had this conversation with. A sign of your ability to receive the grace of God is, can you show up at a potluck with nothing in hand? Are you able to receive good gifts, even from your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you receive a good gift from a gift-giving God? 1 Corinthians 1, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. See, there comes a moment where you might say, this makes absolutely no sense. But for some reason, I believe it. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. Are you a Jew or a Greek here this morning? Well, God, when you do X, Y, and Z, I will know that you are real. Guess what? When X, Y, and Z happen, you swing right back around to A, B, and C. It's never enough. Humble yourself. Let me just think through this a little bit more. Now, what did you say about that one thing? Stop trusting in your own intellect to save you. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you are wise according to worldly standards. Sorry, hate to tell you. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is gone. We have no right to boast. Ephesians 2 says it simply enough. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Why should you believe on, be made righteous by, and find refuge in Jesus Christ, the only one who pleases and appeases the Father? Because God is a patient God. Come to him. Believe on him while he may be found. Because God is a completely saving God. He leaves nothing undone. And because God is a gift-giving God, it is all by grace, so that none of us may boast. He gives freely. Believe on him. Stand with me as we pray. Lord, be at work in our hearts through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. Draw our hearts to you. Lord, if there be any here whose hearts are dead in sin, make them alive in Christ. Cause them to believe on, to hope in you. We pray in Christ's name. And church, let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.